This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
That's right. It's opening day. Dave Sims, Susan Waldman for the first time. Well, we've heard some spring training games. First time a regular season game. I'm excited. We got BT and Sal live from Yankee Stadium later today. They'll be talking to the Yankee manager at 10 o'clock and talking to Andy Pettit at 10:15. As we get opening day underway, we say goodbye to my man Rami. Michael Fliegelman, who's going through it right now, is back with us. We got Nico training in one of those ugly fisherman Islander hats. I thought they burned all that fisherman paraphernalia. I guess not. But it is opening day, and obviously the Yankee roster is kind of set. We'll see what they do with Peraza, but there is a question with the Met roster. I just want to get to for a second is they haven't announced whether or not it's going to if Acuña is going to be on the team, and they've talked a little bit. Both teams have talked about the operations of baseball and how you could any moment guys may shake free at this time, and guys who don't fit other teams who don't have options, could make their way. And the Yankees have been looking for a right-handed bat, and I honestly think the Mets right now are looking for another infielder. Canario had a very good spring. It sounds like he's not going to make the team. That could be even a position for the Yankees. They had a really good spring, getting traded over from Chicago, the Cubs. But they don't need another outfielder. They need another infielder. And it feels like the Mets right now are waiting to see if they can get just another backup, everyday major league infielder, as opposed to putting Acuña in that spot, which I think I agree with. I don't want Acuña on this roster. I don't want him on the roster. Because he's not going to play. I think they're going to give Beatty a real good look at second base. He's killed it in spring. They have to find out whether or not he can hit. He's shown he can play the position. It's only a month with, even if he's bad, it's only a month with McNeil coming back. I think they want to give him a legitimate run. And Acuña not playing every day doesn't serve anybody. They don't need a backup. They've talked about the idea. They don't need a backup shortstop for Lindor. They're not going to give him regular rest. And so for me, Like, what is Acuna going to do sitting on the bench? He hasn't had enough at-bats at AAA to feel comfortable with him being a role player. And we've already heard from Lindor about him getting bored, right? He doesn't take spring training all that seriously. He doesn't, like, you know, he turns it on. Well, he might get bored sitting on the bench every day. So, like, I think they're right trying to find any other solution to this roster. Go send Acuna down. Let him get some at-bats in AAA. Find somebody else to plug in as your backup utility kind of infielder. And let's be honest, hopefully there's a chance that McNeil kind of takes over that role when he comes back. Hopefully Beatty answers the question that he can hit and they kind of make him the second baseman and McNeil can be, you know, shuffled around throughout the infield, even into the outfield. So I do think Acuna ultimately will probably have a good chance to make the roster because it's not easy to find somebody else. But I think the Mets are looking. I think the Mets are right. I don't think it makes sense to keep him on the team and limit his at-bats here to start of the year. 888-808-1019. You guys are all lined up, so I want to take your calls. We can get into a little bit of Russ and what Russ had to say about being a leader. He also, I'll give him this. He did his homework. He was talking about the Giants. He was well prepared to speak on the Giants. He expects to be the starter. He thinks they need some leadership. And ultimately, I thought he had a pretty fair, you know, pretty good press conference to welcome himself to New York. He was well-spoken, answered all the questions, and really was very on board with almost every player. He knew the offensive line. He was referencing third down plays the Giants had last year. He's done some film work on the Giants. Like, I just think he's very prepared, eager to be here. And I still think he's going to be, whether he wants to be focused on winning or not, he's going to be mentoring a young quarterback because the Giants still need to take one in the draft. We'll get to that as well. Disappointing night for the Knicks, dealing with more injuries. But let's stick with your baseball calls in a little bit. We'll go through some of my over-unders. We'll give you how I see the season playing out. We'll do Mets and Yankees final predictions. And we'll get you ready for opening day as we take you to 2 o'clock here on this now opening day, Thursday morning. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Let's go to Peter and Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Hello, Christopher.
Hello, Peter.
How are you? I'm trying to be positive on tomorrow.
Let's be positive. Why wouldn't we be?
Darn straight. It's the beginning of the season.
That's right.
Everyone is 0-0, and it'll be no boos of Aaron Judge. Correct.
There should be no boos.
Darn straight. That's what I'm trying to be positive. You know, ever since I was young watching the games on PIX and on the radio, explaining the game to my mom and dad. And when I used to go to Chicago to see my brother Paul at opening day at Wrigley Field, baseball was always something special. Magic waters bringing you back to life. The one thing I want to see is Andy Pettit, who throws out the first pitch tomorrow.
Yes.
In the Hall of Fame. And rest in peace to Brett Gardner's son.
Yeah, and thank you, Peter. That's a tragedy. And, you know, more and more is coming out about that, but very, very sad on vacation. Just very, very sad. 14-year-old young boy. Hard to fathom. But, yes, so rest in peace to Miller. And, obviously, our thoughts to the Gardner family where they're going through it right now trying to figure out what happened to their son. It's tragic. Now, Andy Pettit and the Hall of Fame, I mean, listen, is there a scenario one day where someone steps up in front of the committee and tries to convince that committee to vote in Andy Pettit years from now? Yeah, but he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame. Great pitcher, great money pitcher, I guess. You know, you look at his, again, like a lot of the Yankees, you look at those Yankees that we all remember as these incredibly clutch, you know, incredible in the postseason type players, a lot of them just didn't level off. Like with the rise in competition and the better pitching and the better, you know, lineups and everything, they just didn't get any worse. They gave you their regular season numbers throughout their postseason career. Maybe Jeter elevated slightly, but you know, Andy Pettit just continued to be himself throughout the postseason. And I'm not trying to knock him. He's an incredible, I mean, how many big games did Andy Pettit win? But I just don't know. Over the course of a regular season, Andy Pettit, he had some injury issues. I'd love to see him in the Hall of Fame, and maybe one day the Veterans Committee will put him in, but I don't really see Andy Pettitte as a Hall of Famer. Kevin in Maine, what's up, Kev?
Chris, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Good, how are you, buddy?
You know what? After I talked to you the other night and poo-pooed over the Yankees rotation, I took a look at the offensive numbers for spring training. Let's go, baby. And I'm going to say one thing and one thing only. Mets fans, you talk about wanting to be big brother. You talk about taking over the town. All you guys have to hang your hat on for the last 40 years is Juan Soto's contract, 2015, and some grainy film from 1986. Let me just say something to y'all, Mets fans. You now have expectations. Welcome to hell. I know your fandom as a Mets fan has been hell, but now welcome to real hell, where it's World Series or bust every year.
Yep.
Just like us.
Yep.
Just like us. So if you want some, come get some. And that's all I'm going to say. And as for the Giants,
yeah,
Russell Unlimited Wilson. Let's go. I'm excited for it, Chris. I still want the young quarterback, but you know what? I'm excited for Russell Wilson. He wants to be there. He's wanted to be there for a while, and now he's here. So let's see what we could do. Happy opening day.
Happy opening day, sir. Yes. Well, listen, and again, for the Mets, yeah, it is kind of that scenario now where the last year's fun is over. There's only one thing left to do. Anything else is a failure. There's degrees of failure. And it is just year one of this open window to win a championship. But there is no more fun seasons. There are no more taking bows for making it to the NLCS after having a rough start to the year. This is now one of the better teams in the sport. That's it. And I guess with the Acuna, I saw that there was like the one report. I didn't see the other reporters confirm it. And the Mets haven't announced it. And I was watching David Stern speak. And he was hesitant to announce Acuna as being on the roster. And I think they probably, and I said it's most likely that he would be on the roster because it's hard to find someone. But apparently the unspoken word is that he has been told that he's going to be on the roster. I don't like it. I was hoping for them to find someone to just take that role because I think Acuna being on the roster is we'll see. I would like to see him just get regular at bats and then make the move at if Beatty can't hit. Or, you know, if there's a time in the season where they have to make that move, and it probably will come, then you make him up. When you bring a young kid like Acuna up here, I don't want to play him once every 3 or 4 days. Now, we'll see how they manipulate him throughout the year, but throughout the weeks here at the start of the year, especially without McNeil. But I know they need the infielder. I'd rather see him get steady at bats. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, how's you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
All right, a couple things. Since your memory's not so well, you know, a couple of years ago, you wanted Russell Wilson for the Giants.
I did.
And then after that, you said, oh, I'm so glad we didn't get him when he bombed out in Denver.
I suppose I said that, yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Right, and then he went on the wheel of quarterbacks, and mm-hmm. then you killed him again. You didn't want him for the Jets.
Correct. Well, I mean, it's not like I didn't want him for the Jets. Again, you're parsing my words. The wheel of quarterbacks was, is it better than Aaron Rodgers? That was the wheel of quarterbacks. Not that I wouldn't want him on the Jets. I don't want Justin Fields on the Jets. I don't want anyone on the Jets except Aaron Rodgers. And I have not once stood here and said Russell Wilson is going to kill it with the New York Giants. I'd rather see Jameis Winston play with the New York Giants. That's literally what I've said.
Right. You're the voice of the Giants on the fan, and you made it very clear you didn't want nothing to do with Russell Wilson.
Right.
And you're still saying it now that you'd rather see Jameis Winston do it. But
yeah.
let me cut to my real question. Say they are happy with the quarterback or they got Stafford, and they want to address the offense, you know, because you go, if it's not a quarterback, it's got to be one of the premier defense again. And we go through another year of an offense that can only put up 14 points, 17 points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had to pick an offensive player in the top five, who would you pick?
I don't. Then they're not going to. And I wouldn't pick one for them. I would not. I would pick a quarterback.
You wouldn't pick the wide receiver, McMillan?
No. I wouldn't
put
him
with neighbors.
No.
See, that's the problem, because you know why?
Why?
Everybody's still fishing to get someone next to Dexter Lawrence to get the line going.
No, I'm looking at the best players available. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the best players available. They are better than the McMillan. They are better than the wide receivers. Those two players are the two best players in the draft. That's why the Giants don't have enough good players at anywhere on the field for me to pick for need at the wide receiver spot. Like, they just paid Slayton.
Don't you think at one part of the team, it has to have an explosion? Just like you want a quarterback, you're expecting that explosion at that position.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you get a wide receiver?
Because I don't think the wide receiver necessarily guarantees the explosion, as we just drafted Neighbors, and it didn't help, did it?
He shows he's got skills.
No, he showed me he got skills, but where's the explosion?
If he's getting double teamed the whole time, Chris, you've got no one else to go to.
They've got Slayton. They got Wandell Robinson. I don't need another wide receiver desperately. If they were picking 7th or 8th or 9th, and we were talking about possibly a wide receiver falling to them, then I'd be into it. But right now at 3, there are two clear-cut quarterbacks at the top of this draft deemed worthy enough to being a starting quarterback in this league in a first-round pick. And then there are two of the best players in this draft. They're separate. There's the two quarterbacks and then the two best players. And the two best players happen to be defensive. They are clearly the Heisman Trophy winner and a pass rusher and a linebacker who has been dominant. So those are the two best players. I'm picking 3rd. I'm either taking a quarterback or the best player in the draft. I'm not picking for need. The Giants aren't good enough to pick for need there. I know you want a wide receiver. I disagree with you. I don't want another wide receiver. If they were drafting somewhere where it made sense to take the wide receiver, then I would do that. It wouldn't make sense to pass on these two excellent defensive players to take a less talented wide receiver just because I need the explosion in the I need good everywhere. The Giants' defense last year was garbage. The roster is not in a position to pick and choose what spot other than the quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you need a quarterback. The rest of the roster is on equal footing. The defense, the offense, whatever. And if the best player in the draft was a wide receiver, that's who I would take. If there was a can't miss, if there was, you know, Harrison Jr. was in this draft and he was the best player in the draft after the quarterbacks, that's who I would take. That's not the case with this draft. The case in this draft is there are two great defensive players, a shutdown corner who can even mix it up in offense and give you a wide receiver there if you want. He can help you both ways, Hunter. So you should be looking to draft Hunter because he helps in two spots. Or Carter and really get after the quarterback with Carter and with Dexter Lawrence and with Burns and see if you can really impact the other quarterback play. Because that's really what the name of the game is in today's NFL. It's how well your quarterback plays and how much you can affect the other quarterback play. That's it. That's the name of the game. I know offensive line, the trenches, but I mean, you want to protect your quarterback, have a functioning quarterback, and hinder the other quarterback's ability to function. That's what you're trying to do. So I don't weigh it more or less. The roster is so poor and has so many holes that I'd take the next best player. That's it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dave in Five Towns. What's up, Dave?
I'll ask a question and then I'll hang up. The Knicks started off with a shaky start and they needed chemistry. Now that Brunson is injured for the playoffs, do you think that they'll be even worse than they are now, since they won't have so much chemistry together?
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry is important, and thank you for the call, bud. The chemistry is obviously important. I think it's more of just the play on the court right now, and they're just missing their guy, and they're dealing with all kinds of injuries. Payne leaves this game with an injury. They didn't have Deuce in this game. The chemistry is not as tight as it was last year, even though the talent is higher. That's true. And last year's team was built on guts and grittiness and chemistry, as we saw even the commercial with DiVincenzo that they're missing him. So I think chemistry is important, but right now it's not so much that they're missing the chemistry. They're missing Brunson's play on the court. They're missing his ability to run the offense. They're missing his ability to hit shots. They're missing his ability to get to the basket and make the offense function. Like, that's right now it's a little bit of chemistry, but it's mainly just right now. I feel like the Knicks are in a holding pattern right now, waiting for Brunson. Like, I don't know if we can, like, overreact and, like, oh, bad loss, oh, good win, oh, bad loss, oh, good win. Like, it's almost like they're locked into the into the three. I'm not too concerned about them blowing that spot. And it's just a matter of when Brunson can come back, how healthy he can be, how many games he can play, and what he's going to look like heading into the postseason. That's really all that matters. And last night, you know, they're dropping like flies. I'm just watching now. Payne leaves the game. You go in, obviously, without Brunson. You go in, obviously, without Deuce McBride. They have nobody to run the point. OG Anunoby's been better. Bridges, without Brunson, has had games, obviously, the Portland game, first and foremost, but has had games where he's putting up some more points. Josh Hart is capable of a triple-double on any night, is now the new Knick leader for a single season in triple-doubles. Him and Kat both went triple-double the other night. And coming off back-to-back right now, it just feels like they don't have the legs. We know the minutes police and everything, but you've got the injuries they're dealing with. Even Cameron Payne leaves this game. They got no McBride. They're probably exhausted out there. And on back-to-back, on a team that can score like the Clippers, it was an ugly night for them. But ultimately, you're waiting. You know what they're capable of, and it's pretty much next to nothing without Jalen Brunson. Let's go to Jeff in Fairfield. What's up, Jeff?
How you doing? Appreciate the show. I just think that the Giants need to pick the best player out available, and you said that right. And it's Travis Hunter, no doubt. I mean, you got Russ and you got Jameis. Why the hell would you waste that third pick on Shador or whoever's there?
Because they're not the future quarterbacks of the team. You need to find your future quarterback.
You think it's Shador, though?
Yes.
Shador Sanders versus Travis Hunter, you're picking Shador.
Yes.
Okay.
I need a future quarterback.
Can I hear your explanation? Why not, if you have Russell Wilson, you have Jameis Winston, why not get the best player, which is, I think, is Travis Hunter?
Because I'm not going to win with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson this year, with Hunter or anybody else. I'm not going to do it. I need to draft I have the third pick in the draft. I don't have a quarterback. I don't know where I'm going to be next year. I don't know who the GM is, who the coach is. I don't know anything about the situation they're going to be in, or what quarterbacks are coming out, or how good we feel about those quarterbacks. I can't keep... Last year we heard the same thing. I'm going to let you go, buddy. I'm sorry. There's too much noise in the back. Last year, the same thing. Oh, we don't have to draft a quarterback this year. Go take one of the better players. I'm not doing that. This year, oh, don't draft a quarterback. And then next year, like, eventually you have to take the plunge and draft the quarterback. They're drafting third. Where are they going to be for the quarterback next year? And who cares what quarterbacks are in the room right now? If they would have traded and signed Matthew Stafford, okay, you go about it. If they would have brought in Sam Darnold, okay, I can live without a quarterback because theoretically Sam Darnold could be my guy moving forward if I sign him to a 3-year deal or whatever. But like, it's a 1-year deal for Russell Wilson and a 2-year deal at $4 million per for Jameis Winston, who hasn't been a starter in this league in how long? Like, they brought in two veterans to just make sure if one, Shador Sanders isn't there at 3, or they can't find a quarterback, or they have injuries in the room, that they're locked into position. They're paying $14.5 million to the quarterback position. That's nothing. They're paying $14.5 million to secure themselves some sort of veteran quarterback to play the game. Like, that's it. They're still going to draft the young quarterback. You have to. What are they doing? You get Hunter for what? And then what do you do next year at the quarterback position? Play Jameis Winston? Like, it's not good enough in a division against the Eagles. Like, you guys are just sure Shador Sanders isn't good. I don't know what makes you so sure about that. But I'm not so sure. I want to see. And I can tell you this, a shutdown corner is not going to make this team light years better. It's not. They have a stud wide receiver. It didn't help wins. They had a Hall of Fame caliber running back. It didn't help wins. They have a all-pro left tackle. It hasn't helped them with wins. They have the best defensive tackle in the sport. It hasn't helped them with wins. You got to find your quarterback. You have to. You can't push it off till next year and just assume you're going to suck for Arch Manning. We don't know how good he is, if he's going to come out, where the Giants will be next year, what they'll have to do to try and move up to a position to draft one of these quarterbacks, and who's the coach and GM that's going to be doing it. Like, I don't know any of that stuff. They have free agency, and they have a bunch of other picks. That third pick is not the only way they're going to go build a team. Take the quarterback. They've already added a corner. They've added the safety. They've added some wide receivers. They've added some interior linemen. Go out there and improve this team with the rest of the draft, but take that first pick and find the quarterback of the future.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:33, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got to give Nico baseball music. I keep forgetting. But, like, I don't understand what me and Fleeks were just talking about. Like, I don't understand how anyone is confused. Like, the last caller literally said, you're going to have to explain that one to me. I'm going to have to explain to you why the Giants should draft a quarterback. Like, that's some sort of crazy notion that I have to explain to you over Travis Hunter. You're going to have to explain that one to me. We were just talking about it. Like, Surtain has been the best cornerback in the league for how many years with Denver? Right? He's been right there at the top, 1, 2, or 3 in the NFL every single year. He's one of the great defensive players, shutdown corner. I mean, let's be honest, if Hunter's as good as Surtain, you're going to feel pretty damn good about it. And Denver has been a disaster with Russell Wilson, a disaster for the last handful of years until what happened? What happened that changed Denver's fate? What happened? Oh, that's right. They drafted the right quarterback. They took Bo Nix and paired him with Sean Payton and turned around the team and put them in the playoffs when they've been a disaster. You think Surtain is the difference? You think he's the reason that they're in the playoffs? Or do you think getting the right quarterback in there turned around the Denver franchise? Which one do you think it was? Like, you got to get a quarterback. You got to get the right quarterback. The Giants are in limbo. The Giants are nowhere. And that's why, like, I have a real problem with all the different people yelling about the embarrassment that the Giants are for this quarterback room right now. Like, oh, it's, it's so embarrassing. You have Russell Wilson and Winston. What a disaster this is. Oh, my God. The once proud Giants or whatever else people. It's crazy to me. They are taking a flyer on a couple of veterans that were the best options. Like, I'm not happy about it. To Eddie's point, I spun the wheel of quarterbacks every morning when the Jets were making a decision. And I didn't like either of these guys. They're not as good as Aaron Rodgers. I've been saying that. But again, you want to go back to the wheel and find me two guys on the wheel better than these two? These are the two best options. Once they got word, or once they felt like Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to come to be a Giant, these are the two guys. And they got both of them. Why are they more of a joke? Because they signed both. It's $14 million. $14 million. Daniel Jones got more from the Colts than these two quarterbacks are getting. They're seeing if one of them can stick, work with Brian Daboll, figure out a way to go about winning enough games to satisfy the owner with the team that they're building around him, which they've added to in free agency and still have other draft picks besides the top draft pick, and then they'll draft a young quarterback at 3 or in the first round or somewhere, and they'll have a room full of two veterans and a young quarterback that they're going to both help groom, and I listened to Wilson speak, and he talked about the idea that, hey, listen, we'll do what's right by the kid, but ultimately I'm here to win. I get that she is here to win. He's not here just to hold hands. He's here to go and try and win football games. But, like, people talk about, like, oh, the Giants, they're just, you know, throwing crap against the wall. Where's the plan? What's the plan? This is the plan. The plan is to give themselves as many options as possible while they try to attack the draft in a two-quarterback draft where they're picking third. Like, I don't understand. What do you expect? They can't just have a straight-up plan. It's not in their hands. They don't have the ability to just look at it and go, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. The plans are forever changing. Oh, Matthew Stafford's available? Okay, that sounds like a good plan. Oh, he wants to stay in L.A. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is available? Okay, let's see how Aaron Rodgers wants to go. Oh, no, he'd rather go to Pittsburgh or Minnesota. Well, now, what are we doing? We got to bring some sort of veteran quarterback in here. All right, let's go with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, and that will protect us in case we don't or are unable to draft the kid third, because guess what? There are two people picking in front of them. Like, I don't understand it. What's their... The Giants have been a laughingstock for a long time. The Giants have been a friggin' dead franchise for a decade. It's been embarrassing. Why the Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston pairing is some sort of, like, extra cherry on top of the embarrassing sundae that the Giants have been feeding us for 6 years, I have no idea. I'm not embarrassed by this. It's two veteran quarterbacks. They'll see which one works. You think they would have been better served just with Jameis Winston for $4 million? They have the cap space. It's money well spent at a quarterback position. Last year, they were spending $45 million on Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. But this year is the embarrassment? Again, last year, Daniel Jones and Drew Lock cost $45 million. This year, Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson cost 14 and a half, but this is the year that they should be laughed at. Last year was the joke of the quarterback room. Last year was the embarrassment. Last year was where everyone should have been laughing at them. Picking up Drew Lock for $5 million. Another year of the year of Daniel Jones, as famously quoted by the GM in Hard Knocks. For $40 million per, that's the laugh, that's the joke. Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson just to try and get some wins while you get ready for your future quarterback? It's not a joke. Unfortunately, it's best case scenario. So, I mean, like, I don't understand anybody who has an issue with this. Anybody. Now, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't make me feel like the Giants are going to turn around and win a bunch of games or anything. But I'm not sure what you'd want them to do. They tried for the two better options. They had a trade in place with the Rams, and they had a contract in place with Matthew Stafford. They went as far as they could. Matthew Stafford chose, and the Rams chose reunion. They made it very clear to Aaron Rodgers that they want him as the quarterback. He doesn't. The love is unrequited. How's that for McMonagle bingo? Unrequited. Like, it is what it is. So right now, they were forced to bring in a veteran quarterback in Russell Wilson, who is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, won a Super Bowl, and is now did lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs last year, but completely failed down the stretch and looked washed by the end of the year. And Jameis Winston, who throws a bunch of touchdown passes with twice as many picks. This is what they've got. And it's going to be up to Brian Daboll to do both. Brian Daboll, this is a big year for Brian Daboll because he's juggling both scenarios. Not only just the team. And this year, I think he should give up play calling because it's too much. But he's going to be doing that. He's going to be riding that fine line of juggling these two quarterbacks, trying to win games, trying to build an offense, trying to coach interceptions out of Jameis Winston, and trying to coach, you know, throwing the entire field and not taking bad sacks back into Russell Wilson while developing the young quarterback. That's a lot. It's a lot on his plate, and it's going to be difficult to prove to this owner that he should keep his job. But, like, I am, like, so many people are upset or think it's some sort of joke. They are a joke. They've been a joke. This is them doing what they can. I don't know what else they were supposed to do. Quarterbacks don't grow on trees. The Jets have Justin Fields. Everyone's so excited. Oh, well, at least the Jets, Justin Fields. Oh, Justin Fields, you say. Oh, he's young and athletic. It should help the run game. Oh, Justin Fields. Justin Fields was on the bench as Russell Wilson was dragging the Steelers to the bottom, and the coach, one of the best coaches in the NFL, didn't see like it was worth going to Justin Fields. But we should be all excited about Justin Fields to the Giants, but Wilson to the Giants, Justin Fields to the Jets, we should all get excited about, but Wilson to the Giants is a joke? Explain that one to me. Explain to me how Mike Tomlin saw it as Wilson is the better player and allowed him to drag the organization down the last 5 weeks and still didn't go to Justin Fields, but somehow we should all be pumped about what the Jets are doing at the quarterback position while the Giants are fools for trying to take as many shots in the dark as they can. Like, this is it. They're trying to throw anything against the wall and see if it sticks while they're waiting for the quarterback to develop. Or to at least get him in the room, let him watch a little offense, let him learn before they throw him out there. What is wrong with that? So when people laugh about the quarterback room of the New York Giants and then tell me, oh, but the Jets got a young, that was a good move. That's a good move. That's a good move. He's got some athleticism. He ran for a lot of yards. Yeah, he lost a lot, and Russell Wilson was the better option to Mike Tomlin last year. So, I mean, they were on the same team last year. One started, one sat the bench. And because he was on the bench and wasn't blowing games for the team, we assume that the bench player is a better player. Mike Tomlin didn't feel that way. Call him up. Take it up with him. Let's go back to the calls. Tyson in East Islip. What's up, Tyson? Tyson, you there? No, Tyson? Okay. Rick in Brooklyn. What's up, Rick?
How you doing, Chris? I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, thank
I'm
you,
at
Rick.
Work. I listen to you all the time.
What do you do? What do you do for work now at 12:30 in the morning?
I'm an armed security officer.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
All right, so what do you got?
But yeah, man, Chris, you are telling it like it is, man. I don't understand what these Giants fans want today. You got two quarterbacks in the room. We're building this team right. Went out and got a safety. Went out and got a corner. He's trying to build this team in the right direction. What do they want? You want to keep playing DeVito and losing?
No, I mean, well, listen, I don't know if this guarantees them wins. I just don't know what they think the Giants should have done. I mean, they're right? I guess everyone would be happy if they just didn't have a quarterback in the room right now and drafted the young quarterback and started him from day one. Because other than that, I don't know what they wanted them to do. Other than just saying, Shador's our guy, we're going to make sure we get him. Because again, they can't guarantee they're going to get him. That's what everyone seems to think, like, oh my God, you're doing all this and the young quarterback, and why would you do all this? Because they can't guarantee they're going to get the young quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a draft. It's a crapshoot. There's 29 other teams. And it's a two quarterback draft and they have the third pick. So they're stacking the deck just trying to make sure that they have a quarterback room that's functioning. Because nobody would have a problem if it was just Jameis Winston and then they drafted the young quarterback. But like adding both for whatever reason for another $10 million, you got Russell Wilson, $10 billion. It's not like they paid him big-time superstar money. They didn't give him a $30 million deal. He's making $10 million with the possibility of making another 11 or whatever, and that's probably tied into games played, and they're probably going to go to the young quarterback. Let's try Tyson one more time. Tyson, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I apologize.
No worries. What's up, bud?
I'm not a Giant fan. I'm a Cowboy fan.
So the funny thing is, when you look at the Giants quarterback and then drafting, as a Cowboy fan, I was hoping they would get Walter Sanders because they don't seem to be that great of prospects. So the fact that Shane and Dable actually might have the gall or the stones to pass on a quarterback that's not that good and put a quarterback in, they're actually doing the right thing. If they get Hunter or Carter, that's the best thing they could do. I don't understand why it can't be accepted by fans that maybe there just aren't that many good quarterbacks in this draft class, and they're actually doing the right thing for the team.
Okay, well, what, first of all, what makes you think that's what they're doing?
Because if they have a backup quarterback in Winston, they're bringing in Wilson, which makes sense. So it shows that they probably don't believe in the two quarterbacks
that are
going to be drafted and two.
They just why? Are they drafting one and two?
No, they're not.
Well, then how do they know they're going to get that quarterback?
Because they don't. But if they would, if they really believed in them, they would move up to get them.
Tennessee has taken that off the table, apparently, and who knows what Cleveland would want or wants to do. Like, there's just no way to guarantee that. So, I mean, maybe they still do that. Maybe they still do that. These are just two quarterbacks that they're using as a backup plan in case they're incapable of getting the quarterback.
I'm saying Shane and Dable are on their last leg. They have to do something positive. And as a Cowboy fan, I actually admire what they're doing because
you think they're doing. That's my point with
you.
I don't agree with you on what you think they're doing. I think they're going to draft a quarterback if Sanders is there at three.
But you don't believe they would mortgage the future to try to get the quarterback they believe in?
They are.
No,
maybe,
this is their last shot.
Maybe they are trying. It takes two to tango. Tennessee has fallen in love with Cam Ward, so there goes that. They tried last year to hemorrhage and leverage their thing to go up and trade for May. The Patriots said no. Like, there's only so much you can do. The other team has to say yes.
You're 100% correct. I just admire the Giants for having the stones to actually maybe think that these two quarterbacks really aren't it, and they'd rather take a blue chip in Hunter or a Carter.
Yeah, but I
wish they didn't.
I hear what you're saying. Well,
I don't want to see those guys as a Cowboy fan.
Well, I think you're going to get your wish because I think they're going to draft the quarterback if he's there. Because I disagree with your assessment.
If he does, I will call you back and I will thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's what they're going to do. And again, what is the two blue chips? We just went over it. What do they guarantee you? Myles Garrett is one of the best. Like, let's do the two things, right? Carter's a blue chip prospect. If he's as good as Myles Garrett, you will throw a parade. And how much winning has gone on in Cleveland? If Hunter is Patrick Surtain, you will have a party. How much winning has gone on in Denver? Like, these positions don't guarantee you victories. The quarterback does. You have to find your quarterback. And by nothing they have done indicates that they're not going to draft a quarterback or that they have the stones to pass on the quarterback. They don't have the ability to guarantee they can get the quarterback. What don't we understand? How does anything they do tell you how they feel about these two quarterbacks that they're not in position to draft? Oh, well, don't you think they would hemorrhage? Don't you think they would trade up? They could be trying. They could be trying. Right now, it feels like Tennessee's not listening. Tennessee had a private meeting with Cam Ward. It sounds like they're not listening to trades. They're going to draft their quarterback. And I don't know what's going on with Cleveland. Maybe they'd be interested in trading up. I don't know. Or trading down to three. I don't know. But I'm sure the Giants are trying. They try. If we didn't have Hard Knocks, we wouldn't have known how much they tried to get May. So I still think the Giants are going to draft a quarterback if he's there. They've signed two veterans in case he's not. So, and again, as a Cowboys fan, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Because as a Cowboys fan, you just watched the Washington Commanders become the new team in town. Are you glad that they didn't have the courage to draft a defensive player instead of Jaden Daniels? Like, do you see what happens? Do you see it's quarterbacks that win in this league? The Jets have the longest playoff drought in professional sports. Do you think they do that with a good quarterback? If they had good quarterback play, do you think they have that streak? It's about the quarterback. You know why so many teams at the top are drafting quarterbacks at the top of the draft? Because losing enough games to be at the top means you don't have a quarterback. You can have a shutdown corner and draft first. You can have an incredible edge rusher and draft first. You can have a stud wide receiver and draft first. You can have it all under the sun and still be drafting first. If you have a top of the league Pro Bowl quarterback, you are not drafting first. That's why all these teams at the top draft quarterbacks, because they're there because they don't have one, because it's the only position that dictates winning and losing on its own. It's the only position that will prevent you from winning only 3 games, and the only position that will guarantee you winning 13. That's it. Anthony in Cliffwood. What's up, Anthony?
Hi, what's up, boss? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I look at it as a different perspective, meaning, like, they're trying to fill out their roster. They already have Malik Nabers. Maybe they could get a good corner and Travis Hunter playing receiver, too. And then they're going to work their way in the next year's draft for a quarterback, I mean, because they have Russell Wilson, James Winston. They might get a quarterback in the later rounds, but I feel like they're building a team for next year because the organization, like, they're not as like dumb as it seems. You mean, like, if I seem like they're not they don't know what they're doing, but they really do. You mean, it's just like they're building the rest of the roster out, and then next year they probably might get a quarterback or late in the later rounds, but they're not urgent for a quarterback is what I'm saying. Like, they're just trying to fill out the other spots.
I mean, they're not urgent for a quarterback. They're going to try and fill out the other spots with the third pick. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because last season they could have easily gotten the first pick if they lost the last regular season game. But yeah, they chose not to because it's a lot of pressure to get the first or the first overall pick or the second.
Yeah, I don't think that's why they won the game, Anthony. I think they won the game because the owner made it very clear that if they go undefeated, if they go winless at home in a 9-game home schedule, it was going to be a problem. I also think that for whatever reason, the Indianapolis Colts played one of the worst games I've ever seen, and Drew Lock played well. And once they started playing well, you can't ask them not to play well. They had Drew Lock in the game. It wasn't good enough for every other game that year, but it was good enough for the Colt game. I don't think they lost it on purpose because they didn't want the first pick. I don't think they went, let's go win this game, because who the hell wants the pressure of the first pick? I don't think that was the point. And I don't think they've signed people in free agency. They're gonna draft other positions. There's other ways to attack building out the rest of the roster. They're gonna draft the quarterback. DJ in East Brunswick. What's up, DJ?
What's going on, my man? How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. I just wanted to talk to you about the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that you like the 2 veteran quarterbacks. You know, which I have no problem with it, but I feel like the Giants are setting themselves back once again. You know what I mean?
How? In what area with doing what?
Signing 2 veterans, it just throws it off. If you had signed Jameson to take the reins and then drafted Shador or anyone in Milroe, anybody you wanted, it made sense. But now 2 guys, all right, so now you're going to draft the third. That guy's never going to see the field.
Why?
And then he's going to watch 2 questionable quarterbacks play the position and then learn from them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just watching them play. I've said that about Aaron Rodgers. Watching Aaron Rodgers play could help you learn. But these guys are going to, you know, Jameis Winston's going to be hands-on. They're going to work with him. The coach is going to work with him while he doesn't have to worry about playing. He's going to get a longer time to learn the offense. Like, it's not just from Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. But I don't understand your first point. Why is he never going to play? What about giving Russell Wilson $10 million and giving Jameis Winston $4 million means that they can't decide to go to the rookie? Like, this isn't some sort of, it's not a hierarchy, it's not a democracy, it's not, well, he's one, and then once we get rid of one, we have to go to 2, and Jameis is 2. They can go to whoever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. Neither of them,
no.
It's a 1-year contract for Wilson, it's a 2-year contract for Jameis, who's making $4 million a year. They can go to the quarterback that they drafted at any point they want.
Matt, you make an incredible point. But I'm saying you're lapping him if you have two other guys there.
You're what, him?
You're lapping two guys there. What I mean by lapping is like, all right, if you had just Russell Wilson, he gets hurt. Now the young guy comes in. Now you have two older guys coming in. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, like, you know, there's other examples of this. Remember, famously, with Russell Wilson, they paid $10 million a year, and at the time, that was more money than it is now, from Matt Flynn.
And then the
quarterback outplayed him. Maybe that's still a possibility. Shedeur Sanders could get drafted and just absolutely wow them in training camp, and from day one start. Yeah. Like, this is just a backup plan in case they can't get Shedeur Sanders. Or in case they don't get one of the quarterbacks they want, now they have two guys in place. They're lapping. There is no lapping. The minute a quarterback is drafted third, here's what people don't seem to understand. You can give a veteran $10 million. You can give a veteran $4 million. You can give a veteran $14 million. You can give him $20 million. The very second you draft a quarterback at third, that's the franchise quarterback. That's it. The contract and what they did with Russell Wilson or what they've done with Jameis Winston, it's all just until the quarterback takes over. Nothing else matters. He's the guy. He's not lapping anyone. He's not overtaking anyone. I don't care where he is on the depth chart or where he is on the sidelines or in street clothes come week one. None of that matters. You draft him third, he's your quarterback. The other guys are placeholders. That's it. So there's no lapping. There's no need to him to overtake this one, to then overtake that one, to then overtake this one. None of that matters. Shedeur Sanders, the minute he's drafted third, is the franchise quarterback of the New York Giants, and it's just a matter of when he gets under center. And nothing that they have done so far prevents them from doing that whenever the hell they feel he's ready. That's it. We are making up scenarios because it's two guys and it's a unique, different situation. We're making it up. We're creating hurdles and problems that don't exist. When they draft the quarterback, he's the quarterback. And whenever Brian Daboll deems him ready to be put in, that's what will happen. And it doesn't matter where he is on the depth chart when that decision is made. And Jameis Winston's making $4 million. He's the backup. Whether he's the backup to Russell Wilson or a drafted quarterback, it don't matter.